Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's time for Hour Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Tagovailoa. Not
Tua Tagovailoa.
A forever Dolphins quarterback.
Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua.
Tua.
Tua, Tua, Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Can go to hell. Tua Tagovailoa. Dolphins quarterback.
Daddy loves you guys.
Hour Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of food.
Hour Tua of the program, ladies and gentlemen. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Let's get the headlines. Brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Doral Hyundai, choose one with 1,300 new Hyundai miles in inventory, like Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. What? Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are Doral Hyundai. What's wrong?
Oh my God, Leroy's camera. Everybody jumps out. I got the little controller right here.
I mean, sometimes you don't notice. I was trying to help
Speaking
you.
Just making sure, baby. No problems. Right. Panthers win last night 4-1. Sam Reinhart with a goal for the Cats. Jesper Boqvist with a pair of goals. Etu Luostarinen with a empty netter. Bob, 26 saves. Cats back in action Saturday afternoon against the Bruins at 1 o'clock. That's a national TV game. Tonight's the Orange Bowl. One half of the college football playoff semifinal. Notre Dame takes on Penn State. The Fighting Irish are 1.5 favorites. 7:30 is your kick from Hard Rock Stadium. Miami Hurricanes, they continue to lose at basketball a lot. Lost to FSU.
Oh, my goodness.
4-11 this season. Oof.
Who's the coach?
Bill Courtney.
Yeah. Larinaeg is like, rat's off a ship.
I mean, I feel bad for him.
I do too.
Because he was a beacon of energy. We talked about more Canes basketball than we would ever have. We lost both two coaches down there.
Yep.
Katie and him. So
NIL.
Well, changing of the guard.
And let me tell you right now, this ain't a basketball school. So that NIL, aren't the twins back?
Yes.
Yeah.
We ain't even talking about them.
Sorry, man.
I know.
The Cavaliers, they beat the Thunder last night 129-122. That snapped OKC's 15-game win streak. Makes the Cavaliers win streak 11. Bucks beat the Spurs 121-105. Giannis, he gave the business to Wemby yesterday. Poor Wemby.
That's Giannis, man. Like, he can basically do whatever he wants to on a basketball court.
Still looking at our wounds from the – oh, and the Heat are back in action tonight, of course. They take on the Utah Jazz. Coverage begins at 7:45. It's a 9 o'clock tip from Salt Lake City. But getting back into the Dolphins here. So, Mike McDaniel, if you guys missed it, this was him talking about the punishments he's got to do or give out if fines aren't enough for tardiness. This was at his end of season press conference. You got that, Vlad? Here was Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, I mean, there's the ultimate ultimatum, which is, it's pretty simple. I think it's important that you let guys know that, we're at the point in our team where guys are firmly aware of the expectations, and if your actions continually lead to finable offenses, that you're telling me without words that you don't want to be here. So it's I think it's very clear. I think it's not an indictment necessarily of all, but we are subject to everyone's actions as a football team. So we'll address those as such.
All right. So
yeah, his ass is on the foreman, bro. Because now, if you got an extension, right, and then you come out, you have an 8-9 season, a season that you know didn't live up to expectations, and then now you're coming to find out, yeah, people at the players, they're coming in at any time that they want to. I've given them fines, but it seems not to work. That's not a good. If you're Stephen Ross and you're hearing this, how you feel?
But when you say it's here, let's be clear. It can only be one or two guys. When you say people, stop making it sound like it's the whole damn team, right? No, I promise you, dude.
No one's going to snitch.
They ain't going to go out there and play on the field the way they've been playing and be everybody be late and willy-nilly with that. Especially on that offense, there's a whole lot of stuff that has to be pinpoint accurate.
Yeah, like how many people have the cachet to just say, bleep it, I'll give you fine money. I mean, it's like him. Can't imagine Teron Armstead's doing that.
What about Waddle?
Maybe. Waddle do that and sit there and say, Cheetah, you in.
What about Odell when he was here?
You never know with Odell Beckham. I mean, that's possible.
What about Jalen?
It ain't Jalen.
I don't know.
Jalen's too young.
Ramsey.
Maybe.
I'm just giving you four players, and these are your best players. If your best players are coming in late and everything like that, that's a problem.
Yeah.
So then if you're Boss Ross, you got to look at that and be like, "There's fine. Everybody's back for 25, but you got to admit, everybody's on the foreman grill.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would have thought, I was kind of surprised almost, Vlad, that he put the statement out so quickly after the game. You know, because if I was Stephen Ross, and the thing that I found interesting about the presser this week was that, like, those guys sounded like they were almost defending their jobs with their jobs being safe. And I would have thought, if I was Stephen Ross and I would have heard that press conference over the last 48 hours, and I would have learned about the stuff. I assume that he knows anyway, but just hearing your players talk about it, I would have wondered if that would have given Stephen Ross any more pause on the decision.
That's a good point. Like, you gave the guy the vote of confidence that they're both
right
coming
after
back.
The game,
and then right after the game, and then the next day during the exit meetings and everything, they're spilling the beans on what happened during the year,
which is stuff that. To be fair, remember that it was Deshaun Elliott this year, the safety for Pittsburgh?
We ripped him.
And he said the culture down here is rotten. He said it was rotten.
And
you
we
know,
ripped
he
him.
Said, he said that this team was soft. He said that they're never going to win down there. He pointed all this out. And he was the leading tackler last year, the second leading tackler last year?
But sometimes, like, it's hard to take that from somebody who just got booted.
Yeah, but that's why everybody was saying he was saying that.
Got booted for worse players, though.
Right. People were ripping him because they were like, oh, he got cut by the Dolphins. But no, maybe he was peeling the curtains back and giving you a look about, like, this is the culture that's with the Dolphins right now.
Right.
Here was Zach Sealer, who says now that he's got that NFL street cred to be more of a locker room vocal presence next year.
Speaking up has been one of the things I've been working on my entire career. Me and Christian talked a lot about that early on. Obviously, me coming from the waivers and kind of not doing much in the NFL early on. Like I told Barry, it took me 10 years to get – or 5 years to get 10 sacks and 2 to get 20. So it's just one of those things where it's just like I'm a leader on this team. I'm a veteran. I have my name now. And to speak up with guys like Chubb and Calais, Ogba, Ramsey, all these guys on defense, we need to make sure that we're holding everyone to a standard. To be here from day one to – work as a unit and stay on top of things early on so that we're not trying to play catch up and we're starting the season fast and we're not playing from behind the eight ball.
Do you feel like a guy like that can be one of a Mike McDaniel guy?
Yeah. Like that's kind of, you know, what you want to hear, you know, and so but it needs to be with somebody who's going to be around long enough that can pass that on. Calais Campbell's a tremendous leader.
Yeah, he's not going to. He's
right.
He's
you see what I'm saying?
He needs to go take a nap.
And so that's why when people say Tua stepped up, it's really important because Tua could go have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is if that conversation doesn't go well, then those leaders go to the coach and say, can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
this happened.
I feel like Mostert was one of those guys this year, and he kind of got iced out by the end of the year, you know, between injuries and
And also fumbles.
And, yeah. Well, yeah, he did fumble. That's fair. But he also was like, if anybody represented Mike McDaniel, and who was kind of like, hey, that's my guy, and you're leading the league, and if you're leading the team in touchdowns, and then you're, you know,
but
getting no carries at the end.
See, here's what I tried to do when I was a captain. And they go, oh, the teammate. I said, I don't really like it. I said, because just because you're one of the best players doesn't mean you're a leader. And I said, so I'll try to do it, but that doesn't, like, you know what I mean? And so I always felt.
Did you ever call a meeting?
No. Oh. I would just go talk to the guy. Like you know who's the problem?
I ran a meeting one time, fraternity president. Had a gavel.
With a keg over your head?
Wait, you had a gavel. Did you have the wig? Did you have the blonde wig?
No, I didn't have a blonde wig.
And how many of you were drinking during said meeting?
A lot.
We never drank in the meetings. We didn't drink in the meetings! Professionally.
The one moment in your life you've been serious?
You had some decorum. Okay.
They also got kicked off campus. So, what kind of leader were you?
You didn't have decorum.
Got caught drinking in the dorms.
By the way, what's up with you? You want everybody to take a nap. Is that because they're old?
The old need to take naps.
Yeah, yesterday you told Teron, leave Teron alone. Let him
I'm
go
not
take
saying
a nap.
That as an insult. I want them to leave him alone and let him go take a nap.
And then now you just said leave Calais alone, let him take a nap.
Let him go take a nap, dude. Like, leave him alone. Like, these guys are tired. They're giants.
What do you feel like? They're like bears. They need to go hibernate.
Leave them alone. Like, if I was Calais Campbell and Teron Armstead right now, I would be on a boat in the middle of the ocean somewhere napping. Just thinking, like, I'm so tired of moving 300 pounders.
You know, I feel bad for Calais, man. Because Calais could have left, man. He could have left. He could have been in Baltimore.
He could have made a stink.
Yeah. He could have left.
But see, when you're a competitor and you're losing, you want to be the reason why it turns around.
I know.
I promise you.
So when you say something like that, how is he supposed to look at that the guy wearing number 10?
But Vlad, I've been saying this the whole time. You can backtrack on words. You can't backtrack on actions. So how does Tyreek fix that with, I don't care if he fixes it with Mike McDaniel. I don't care if he fixes it with the Dolphins.
It just feels.
How does he fix it with the other guys in that locker room, including Waddle?
But that's the thing that's irritating about it, right? Like, it's because, it was a tough year for Cheetah, whatever, but I know that they say it's emotional, but it almost feels calculated because it feels like, oh, with the trolling, with the posting the Chargers, with the walking out and then saying, you know, I got to do what's best for him. Like, it does kind of feel like he's been thinking about leaving. And maybe that is for the best. I'm not saying that, you know what, maybe the Dolphins, it was an amazing supersonic three-year run, two record-breaking years. But maybe it is time to move on.
I think part of you know, the bigger issue is that what bothers me about this whole thing, I can understand if fans look at Tyreek and say, oh, your numbers are down, you're falling off. Right? I don't think it's true, but I can understand with fans, they just look at numbers or whatever. He's in that locker room. He knows why things are the way they are. For him to act like a fan and to say, I ain't get my numbers, I got to get out of here, or something along those lines, which is how this is all looking, that he ain't get his numbers without fully understanding the situation that they went through this year, that's another thing that, hey, man, you were here. You know what's going on here. You know Tua missed some time. You know the offensive line required that we get rid of the ball quicker. Right? You know you dropped some balls.
You know Eichenberg punched Zach Sieler right in the face or poked his eye out.
So when
you know that happened.
When you are closer to anybody to the reasons why things happen and you ignore them because of whatever reason, like, that's the part that, like, yeah, man. Like, I just think that he, I would say be more aware, but.
It's a Cheetah.
Right. Exactly. But I would also say this. all of his same antics were cute and funny when they were winning and he was running for Senate. So I am trying
to heat with Jimmy Butler too, right?
I am trying to separate the two. Everything was great till the one time he wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Now we can't say playoff Jimmy.
Yeah,
we can't say January. I said that.
I know somebody was saying that.
Mm. Told me
2024. No, that this was gonna happen. This guy. I told you guys that both Tyreek and Jimmy were the same player. They both wanted their money. The only difference.
But he got his money. Tyreek got his money.
And this is why you look at the difference. And this, no, you know what? This is a great example of South Florida sports and the difference between organizations. Riles has been through this so many times. You know his MO. He's not going to give it to you unless you show that you really earned it.
Right. Especially at 35. Like, guess what? If he would have balled out, the contract ain't next year. It's for 2 years. So who's to say he wouldn't give it to him if he balled out this year?
Well, that was his point. Like, it's like,
but that's what Jimmy said he was going to do.
I think I know. And I think that Jimmy, I have wonderings if Jimmy Butler is worried about his health. And I think that there was a point this year where he's had a couple of nasty ankle injuries. Particularly this last one.
Which one? The last one that gave him the boo-boo?
Yeah. Because that's my point, though. Like,
hold on.
What?
What I've been telling you the whole time.
Huh.
About paying 35-year-old Jimmy.
I understand.
Okay.
I understand.
Okay.
But, you think, people always wonder, like, what changed, right? Because, like, he comes into
Father time.
I understand. I'm not talking about his performance, though. Like, his last game that he actually tried, he was excellent. I'm asking for
it's
him.
It's about the ability to do that over and over again. At
but I'm saying right. What for him changed, and I'm saying, like, hey, that first injury happens, and he goes, uh-oh. And then he's hearing that, you know, Phoenix will pay him. You know, all of a sudden, now we're making a stink.
So you try and say Jimmy's trying to fleece somebody for $60 million because he's banged up and doesn't think that if he doesn't get the contract now, he'll be able to get a big contract like that again.
Fleece is a strong word, but I think that, yeah, I think if he knows.
How is he going to put it? Wait. Let me tell you what he may be thinking. This is what Toba's saying. I better do whatever I can to get this money here because I ain't going to get it nowhere else.
Is that fleecing?
Yeah.
Especially
when you tried to hope, first of all, nobody holds Pat Riley hostage.
Mm-hmm.
He going to dig his horns in, and that's it. So the fact that you even thought you could pressure Pat Riley into paying you $60 million 2 years from now.
Take a break. We'll get to more. There's some interesting Jimmy details from the matchup. We'll get to that.
Silly human.
It's our number 2-0 with Tobin and Leroy.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. What's wrong? Why? She said, who is this?
She's never seen Pulp Fiction, and she's never seen Kill Bill.
Oh, no, I've seen Kill Bill.
You've never seen Pulp Fiction?
You've never seen Pulp Fiction?
No, I've
always... Oh, this was the bit back in the Hawkman show. Saw a lot. There's a lot of great movies she's never seen.
Oh.
It's always been on my list, but...
It's a great movie.
That is... never the right time for me to watch it.
It's like, it's if you took three movies and jammed them into one movie, that's what Pulp Fiction was.
Yeah, it was good. It's actually a movie... It would actually... You would like. Definitely
it would still
like
hold
it.
Up. It would still hold up.
She would definitely like it.
I think it's the fact that it's such a popular movie... I don't like...
You would like Uma Thurman's character.
You would definitely like it.
Yeah.
You definitely would like it.
I just don't like watching
it. Watch it before the Heat game tonight.
Look at that. Look at... Oh, my God. Look at the fires.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy right now, man. Los Angeles is going through a really, really tough time right now with these fires. It's crazy. It looks like the apocalypse out there.
I appreciate it.
My thing is that all of my friends out west always talk about the hurricanes. I said... But y'all have fires and earthquakes, and you get no warning.
Well, there was a news that broke earlier today saying that there was a bunch of wind and the fire. So, like, it's basically hurricane
and
fire all at the same
time. Yeah, they had hurricane winds over the last couple of days.
So, it's blowing fire everywhere.
So, it's just blowing fire everywhere. you know, thoughts and prayers to everybody out
there.
Yeah,
man. That right there is.
Len just texts me and he goes, stop by when you get a chance. And I just hit him back with a fired question mark.
No, I think they do me first.
Nah.
You do too
no
much
way.
Stuff.
The brother gets hand first.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't think so.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you.
You'll be here one time and be like, where's Tobin?
No.
Tell him.
I mean, I've never. Uh-oh, no.
A lot of bubbles. See, this is taking a while to respond. Maybe.
No.
There's no, because even when Eric left, he wasn't fired.
Yeah, but he just left.
Right.
He pulled a Tyreek.
Yeah.
He's like, deuces. all right, well, we've got to take a break. We'll get our clock right. And then I'll go see what if I'm fired or not, and then we'll mix it on up. Coming up next.
Rewind feature, where you can listen to any part of any show you might have missed anytime. Get it now and make WQAM your favorite station.
Hour Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Leroy, can you get a weather update from the Demesman
sure
and Dover
can.
Law Firm? YourAccessAttorneys.com, free consultation 24/7. Call them at 866-954 more.
I tell you what. It's a bit chilly. We call this boots and butts weather. All the ladies wearing them boots with the fur with the tights on.
The whole club's looking at her.
Yep.
What?
We got. Not a cloud in the sky. It is a little breezy, so I say it's probably around 10 to 15 miles an hour. Winds out of the north. And it was in the 40s this morning. And it's probably going to be chilly again tomorrow morning. But right now it says 60? 65? Did it get up to 65?
How's he doing, Vlad? How's he doing?
This guy. It's supposed to get to 70 today, Leroy. So right now it is 62 degrees in Miami.
Ooh.
That's
pretty spot on.
Yeah, what? Pretty much.
62. Leroy just taught me that it's cold in Vegas right now.
But it feels like it's 59, though.
Hey, so, like, we're going to the fight, right? And Tobe goes, you know, we go to eat at our spot. Got to go eat at the spot. We go eat. And he goes, hey, you going to go golfing? Because usually, I have some friends there. I go golfing on Saturday morning. I'm like, no. He goes, why? I'm like, it's freezing this time of year. Not cold, freezing and windy.
I'm very unaware of weather other places.
And so he pulls up a thing. It's like, right now it's 49 degrees. And he says, ooh, 31.
It's got a low of 31 next Monday. I was like,
yeah.
Sheesh.
There's also plenty of weather storms happening in Tennessee.
What?
Yeah, I think.
Tennessee gets cold. I know that.
Tennessee gets cold, but this ain't out west in the desert.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, no. I live there.
A lot of storms by Colorado.
But that's we way south.
Well, speaking of cold, let's get to the mixed bag here, which we're getting a winter classic. Bill Zito yesterday on the TNT broadcast asked about this, and he says it's a tip of the cap. To the Cats Nation, the Cats fans.
It's truly an honor, and it's an honor that the fans earned, that they've now supported our franchise and Tampa as well, right? So that as hockey grows in our area and the fans keep coming out and keep showing how much they love the sport, the kids' hockey's growing. The local TV package goes from the Keys all the way up past Palm Beach. It's just like it's exploding in South Florida, and it's really fun. It's fun to be a part of.
I really want to go.
I'm more than sure we'll be able to go. Well, here.
What?
Never mind.
I really want to go.
You want to go, put your name on the list, and you know who you got to talk to.
No, I'm going to I'll credential or something like that. I'll get in. I'm going.
Like, every time I want to think about going somewhere that, you know, our station plays a role in. I think about it and I say, never mind. It ain't worth the damn headache.
We're going to go. We're going to see the cats outside.
Cats outside.
Cats outside.
Cats outside.
We call it stray cats because we're outside. I'll take my minus one. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Vlad. Give it to him. Give it to him.
Come on, man.
Minus one. No. You get too froggy, dude.
Minus one.
Not froggy at all today.
Because he misses froggy.
Not here. For sass.
He just hits me yesterday. He's just like, oh, yeah, I'm not in. I was like, oh, were you going to tell?
No, he doesn't even call.
Were you just going to surprise us all with Vlad?
Wait, Vlad, no. This is a, no, he don't. You have to understand. He don't even say he's not in. He says, Vlad Day.
Wait. No, you got to get it. No, it's even better. I get the text. Hey, man, these are the days that I need you to fill in for me. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm like, yeah, I got the 21st. I'm like, all right, cool. Don't, as long as you don't put me around my birthday, cool. Then I'm looking, and I look on top. I was like, wait a minute, the 9th? The 9th is tomorrow. The 9th is tomorrow. I'm like, I'm doing a game talk. I was like, all right, man, go ahead, man. Then I got an appointment. I was like, all right, man, whatever. If you have to do something for the tadpole, you know, Vladpole will be there for you. That's
it.
Oh,
man. Well, we're happy to have you, buddy. All right. So, no, I'm excited about that. I'm glad Bill Zito, he's right. And, you know, shout out to the Cats, the Violas. They got a hell of a thing going right now, man.
Oh, yeah. Hottest ticket in town.
No, listen. All-Star game?
Yep.
Two Stanley Cups?
Mm-hmm.
And a Winter Classic. You can't say that the Panthers are not showcasing hockey in South Florida.
And I tell you what, that new facility, where they revamped War Memorial.
Oh, yeah, we were there.
So damn, nice. That's a – I mean,
it's
look,
nice.
No disrespect to the Coral Springs Ice Den.
Yeah, it might flood, but that's okay because, you know, everything east.
Oh, the War Memorial? Oh,
yeah. It might flood. And you – it's weird because where it is, you will drive right by it and not realize that that's there. The street that goes
into Coral Springs?
It? No, I'm talking about
the War
Memorial.
Oh, yeah.
You'll drive right by it.
Oh, yeah.
Without even realizing. But then I always know where it is. It's right next to some oysters.
Oh, yeah. That
Those
was good.
Delicious.
That was good. All right. We've been following the Jimmy Butler saga, of course.
There's no following.
But the other side of this is Bradley Beal. Poor Bradley Beal. No one, well, very rich Bradley Beal. But no one's thinking about Bradley Beal. And this was an odd take, okay? Because
who gave the take?
Stephen A. Smith, right?
But can you give a good take? Here's what I hate about what I do. If I have a comment to make about a certain situation or what somebody has done, I don't have to put qualifiers out there saying, I really like the player. I really like what is going on speaks for itself.
Because he's going to fluff him up before he criticizes him, right?
Right.
He's going to call Bradley Beal a bona fide bucket or something like that.
This is without hearing what we all do that. And I think you shouldn't have to do that. If you're about to say something about somebody, you should be able to talk about that and not have to say other stuff fluff it up.
Leroy, we live in a sensitive world. They're gonna immediately think it's hate.
Because
even though you might have complimented them 1,500 times.
I guess I'm used to it because anytime I say anything negative about the Canes, I'm a hater.
That's right.
There you go.
Right? Even though
you've complimented them.
Although you did foresee the season coming.
And he was right.
Like, I'm just like, okay, like everybody get excited about being 9-0. Hey, dude, when you play with fire, okay, especially in sports, you can't just make a assumption that every time we get in these games, we going to be victorious.
Nah, Gators game was still great, though. Ah, screw the Gators. What a win that was. But anywho, here's Stephen A. Smith who says, Bradley Beal, you got to have some pride. Why would you be somewhere they don't even want you?
I'm a fan of Bradley Beal, the
Here
talent. I think the brother's a sniper. He's a shooter. He can ball. He's far from the scrub. He's an all-star caliber talent. But at some point in time, and I say this respectfully, very respectfully, because, again, I'm fond of him. I say it very respectfully to him and Mark Bartlestein, one of the elite agents in this business spanning 30 years. Wendy's absolutely right. He's been around a very, very long time. And when he's emphatic, you better listen to him because he knows what the hell he's doing and he knows what the hell he's talking about. Here's what we have to ask this question respectfully about Bradley Beal.
Respectfully.
Hey, bro. How do you feel at this stage and point in your career, knowing that your money isn't compromised, about being with a team that doesn't want you to be there? Where's your pride? What you gonna do? You've been in what with the Washington Wizards. You were going home in the first round. You never got past the second round. You weren't making the playoffs every single year. 2014 and 2015 was good. 2017, you made the playoffs. You missed it in 2016, of course. 2018, you get sent home in the first round. 2020, then you missed the playoffs in 2019 and 2020. 2021, you get to the playoffs again. Again, you go home in the first round. Then you miss the playoffs in 22 and 23. And then last year in 24, again, now you're a Phoenix Sun. You go home in the first round. What's up? When we talk about accomplishments on the NBA level, other than your ability to score, what have you really, really done? You're a big enough talent where you should be sitting back and going like this. These brothers don't want me.
Okay. Here's my thing, though. All right, respectfully, Stephen A. Smith, you're the greatest debater there is I've ever been.
Here we go.
Nobody has mastered hot take.
He sound like Rihanna.
Nobody has mastered the hot take quite like Stephen A. Smith. First Take is a bona fide hit maker. I hope you get all the money in the world from Mickey Mouse and the worldwide leader. But let me ask you something, Stephen. You have been a man, followed your work, that you've criticized harshly, and I think rightfully so, Ben Simmons, Zion Williamson, James Harden for quitting because guys wouldn't show up for work. What's been different with this Jimmy Butler thing, dude? Because Jimmy Butler dogged it on the court. You bought this BS about usage rate, and you've been in Jimmy's corner this entire time with this thing. And now you have the audacity to embarrass Bradley Beal, who, by the way, is only living up to his contract, which is with a no-trade clause. And what happened when Bradley Beal was asked to go to the bench? Did he bitch? Did he complain? Did he whine? Not publicly. Just went out there and did his job. So why is Bradley Beal being questioned about pride in this situation? Bradley Beal just got traded there a year ago.
I got to tell you, I did not think we were going to go that way with that. I'm proud of you.
Thanks, man.
It took me off guard there. That
nobody finds that a little fishy though. This guy has sat here.
Here's what I would say though. I would say that we get caught up in and I'll use this now. What you did 2 years ago is not the same as what you can do now. And so we've seen Jimmy have this success. And because we've never seen Bradley Beal have any real success, they approach the situations and comment on the situations differently. You see what I mean? Because he'll come out and say, Jimmy Butler, he's a winner.
Right.
He does. Right. But the actions speak for themselves. Mm-hmm. And what you are saying, because you are closer to it, you have more of an idea of what's going on and what has happened, is that Stephen A. is looking at Jimmy and what he has done in the basketball court before. And he's saying he's a winner. He's not doing that now. Whereas you look at Bradley Beal and like, hey, if you don't want Bradley Beal to do this, then you shouldn't have traded for him with a no-trade clause.
Right.
If you don't want Bradley Beal to do this, what has he done? Has he been a cancer in the locker room?
Mm-mm.
Has he cursed out the organization?
Mm-mm.
So
all he's doing is showing up for work.
Right.
And what pride does he have to show? In fact, isn't that what being a professional is?
Under all circumstances, you go out and play your best. So while I understand why Stephen A., it almost seems like he got friends in the Phoenix Suns organization.
Or in the Jimmy Butler camp.
That's trying to.
Seems like it.
Listen, Stephen A., can we nudge Bradley Beal a little bit?
Seems like it
to
me.
But his criticisms of Bradley Beal and not Jimmy Butler, I'm with you.
Wishy-washy.
What do you mean?
Wait.
Come on, Nate.
Here he comes.
Come on,
Nate.
So wait. Is there any point that has been made to this point that is not accurate about the two players?
Everything. They, two things could be right.
No, but I'm saying.
Yeah, no, no, yeah, no. Everything's been accurate.
Okay, okay.
Everything's been accurate.
Now, so now.
I think he's looking at this point where he's Bradley Beal got all the money. Has had all the money. Yeah. Now it's about winning.
So like, so did Jimmy.
But Jimmy.
But he's not even talking.
Jimmy's complaining about getting paid 2 years from now.
But he
ain't earning the money that he's supposed to be earning right now.
My only issue with what he's saying, Vlad, is why don't you have some pride in not being in a place that doesn't want you? And it's like, well, they wanted me last year. Like, what do you mean? Why is that my problem? That they so I should go to whatever other organization.
Wording,
I should go back to. I should
the
go
wording
to,
is bad.
I should go to Charlotte bad. Because I should. So I should go to a losing organization to just dump off my contract because the Suns don't want me. The hell does that make sense?
Unless he's looking at Bradley at not wanting to come to Miami, because we all know Stephen.
No, he wouldn't end up in Miami.
Let me tell you something right now. If the Heat wanted Bradley Beal.
They would have
this deal would have been done a week ago.
Yeah.
Maybe two weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago. If the Miami Heat wanted Bradley Beal, this would be done already.
I just think that's why he's looking at it. He's always looking at it. He's always looking at the South Beach specter and the you know,
of course,
the glamour.
But,
so that's why he looks at it. So he's looking at it like
you just don't find it odd though, Vlad. One of the things that I've known about Stephen A. Smith's career is nothing drives that guy nuts more than guys not showing up for work.
Right.
And the idea that you're buying this whole, oh, Jimmy Butler's just being misused, and now it's a bad look for the Heat organization.
Oh, no, he doesn't watch the game because I saw him describe, oh, yeah, they have him in the corner. It was, it was the first game that he came back.
They don't have Jimmy in the corner.
They don't have
Jimmy put himself in the corner.
Right, so it's that. But I just think he's just looking at it. Yes, he probably has a relationship with Jimmy.
No, it's just I find it very interesting.
That's fine. And so I can't see – as much as I want to rain on Tobin's parade, I can't because he makes some valid points. It don't happen often. We probably should mark this tape.
You know, they said the clock is
right. I didn't even try to fight.
No, well, see,
I didn't give no resistance.
Leroy.
Because he's accurate.
You know, they say, you say, Leroy, you know, they say the clock is right at least two times a day, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
A broke clock.
Broken clock.
A broke clock's right.
Am I a broken clock?
Well, it's noon right now.
Back after this.